Before we get into today's episode, I wanted to tell you guys about PicDrop. PicDrop is an image transfer tool that was actually designed by photographers for photographers, so they really understand what photographers need when delivering their photos to clients. And I've been using it for years. Like I said, it's just a really easy platform, and they're always updating it with new features. I send all my photos to my clients through there, easily can store my stuff online, access it through my mobile phone if I need to. One of their recent features that they just updated is the scribble feature. So if you're working with a client or a retoucher, they can actually use the scribble notes that will disappear on the photo. So this kind of helps you communicate with your client and retoucher. This kind of streamlines the workflow, and it's just a great platform. Like for years, I was using more old outdated platforms like WeTransfer and Dropbox. But with PicDrop, they design it for specifically for photographers, so they understand what working photographers need. So can't recommend it enough. Like I said, I use it every day. And with today's episode, if you use the promo code BANTER, you'll get 2 months free of the PicDrop image transfer tool. So definitely go check it out. Go over to PicDrop.com, enter the promo code BANTER, and you'll get 2 months free. Let me know what you guys think, and thanks so much. Welcome back to the Photo Banter Podcast. I'm your host, Alex Gagne, and on today's episode, I welcome on photographer Amanda Lopez. Amanda has worked with clients such as Netflix, A&E, ESPN, Time Magazine, and Wired, to name a few. In this interview, I speak to Amanda about how she got into photography, some of her recent commissions, personal projects, as well as a recent gallery exhibit she had. I've been meaning to have Amanda on the show for a while, so hope you guys enjoy this episode, and thanks so much for listening. Amanda Lopez, welcome to the podcast. Excited to have you on. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me, Alex.
Yeah, excited to talk to you. You've had some cool stuff you've been working on. I know you just had an exhibit out in a project called Guadalupe. You had a show. Was that show in LA or was it in Denver?
It was in LA. Yeah, we just had the show at just closed last week at Altura Gallery. It was up for like a month and a half. And yeah, that was like a culmination of years and years of working on this body of work. And it was the first time that I shared so many images from the series. And so that was a really fun experience, fun night. It was fun.
What was that project all about? I know it's titled Guadalupe, and anybody listening, you can go to our website and I'll put the link and you can check out the project. But what was the whole project about?
Yeah, the project is, so I like working on personal projects. It's what, you know, keeps me going, keeps me excited and, you know, creating. And so I'm always kind of working on something. And really over the course of, since I picked up the camera, I've always been attracted to images of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And for folks who don't know, Guadalupe is a Mexican saint. And I grew up with images of her all over my house. And so she was always just someone that I saw and was familiar with and really inspired by. And so over the years, I started documenting images of Guadalupe, like murals and things like around town. And then a couple of years ago, I started to be more intentional with it and started to do more like conceptual photo shoots around like her imagery. And so Guadalupe is this personal series that I've been working on for a long time. And like I said, I showed it for the first time, so many images like that in LA in a gallery not too long ago.
Like how many years did you work on the project, you said?
Oh my gosh. I always say like, 10 years, but really like since I started taking pictures, you know, I would just like document her. And so when I started to pull all of the images for the show, I realized that I had been taking her photo for so long, kind of unconsciously. And so, yeah, 10 years, but honestly, probably longer, you know.
What do you think about the imagery of like Guadalupe that you connected with? What made you kind of interested in it, you think?
I think just because she was always around, and I grew up Catholic, I'm Mexican, and a lot of Mexican folks are Catholic, and Guadalupe is, you know, a Catholic saint. And I went to Our Lady of Guadalupe church, and, you know, my grandma always wore this like fat Guadalupe chain. And so I just always saw her, and I was asked to be a part of an art show, I don't know, maybe like 7 years ago, called The Politics of Womanhood. And I started to think about like, what does that mean to me? Like, where did I get my first kind of ideas about what it means to be a woman? And a woman in, the society. And so her imagery started to come to me. And so that's kind of what like kind of inspired the whole series to like keep moving forward after that show.
And how do you like approach like when you're doing a show with that many images, like how do you kind of edit the work? Like what was your process of kind of like putting it together, 'cause you've been working on it for so long?
That's a good question. Well, I worked with a really awesome curator at the gallery. Her name is Milani Mello. And yeah, I mean, like it can be hard to edit your own work and narrow things down. And so it's so great to have like an outside perspective. And so she really helped me to lay out the show. Actually, she laid the show out in a way that because when I was thinking about the show, I had in my mind how I thought it might be laid out. And she laid it out in a different way. And I thought that was so fascinating to like see another person's perspective. And it worked really great, And so I think, working with her really helped.
Yeah, definitely. I realized that myself, like, 'cause we're all focused on our work, and we can, at least for me, I can be kind of stubborn about my work, and like,
Totally.
and like taking a step back, and you realize like, oh, like someone else actually has a different perspective. I'm like too connected to it sometimes, so it is good,
Yeah.
sometimes to get good advice. Not everyone's advice is good.
Yeah, people you trust. And I really trusted her opinion. Yeah, I think that's the key. Like, yeah, everyone has an opinion, but it's nice to hear different perspectives from people that you respect and
Yeah. And is like exhibiting your work in galleries, is that something you've done a lot of and something you kind of enjoy?
it's something over the years, I've been in a lot of group shows and had a couple solo shows here and there. Yeah, I like creating artwork. I like making photos and I love going to art shows. I know you and I both like photo books. Like I just love photography and I love sharing work and seeing work. And so yeah, art shows have kind of always been something that like I've participated over the years. And then I try and push myself. Like this Guadalupe show is probably the first show I had done in like solo show that I'd done in 7 years. And I felt
Wow.
like, you know what, it's time. Like it's time to show something else. And I kind of forgot though how much work it takes when we were getting ready for the show. I was like, wow,
Yeah.
that's a lot of work, but it's so rewarding,
Yeah.
I like that
And
process.
do you have like any advice for like photographers who are interested in like exhibiting their work? Like how have you kind of like, I know you said you've done some group shows, you've had solo shows, like what are the kind of the steps for like getting those opportunities and kind of getting your work out there? Like how has it kind of worked in your experience?
Gosh, that's a good question. I feel like there's probably so many ways that you can go about it. For me, so I went to school in San Francisco and I started to show my work in San Francisco. And it all kind of happened very naturally, like in San Francisco, I was part of a, creative community and everybody's doing, pop-up shows and like at restaurants and cafes is how I kind of started, and so just being around like other creative folks who would share like opportunities was like kind of how I got my foot in the door. And then there's a bunch of websites. What's that website? Something Cafe. Like it's like this website where they have calls
Oh,
like for shows all over the country. I can't think of the name of it right now, but that's like another way I've like submitted to open calls that way. And the way this show came about that I did in LA, at Agudar, which I recommend everybody to check out, it's a dope space, is I was a part of a group show there, and I knew the curator, who's also a photographer, and I shared with her a zine. I made a Guadalupe zine first.
It's for sale on your website still if anybody wants
It is, yes,
to
thank you. If anyone's interested, go check it out. And I shared it with the curator and I had expressed that I was just interested in sharing the work and she offered to host the show. And so I think that's another way, just like talking about your work to people, telling people what you're trying to do, because if the person you're telling isn't necessarily someone that can put you in that position, they might know someone. So I think for folks just trying to put their work out there in gallery spaces, just talk about it, go to gallery shows, meet other artists, ask them how they did it,
Yeah, be a part of the community. That's really what it is. Like,
Yeah,
you never,
key.
yeah, I even find myself like sometimes you just gotta get out of your normal routine, like get out of the house. Like, 'cause like you
Yes.
can find an art show anywhere. Like, even if you don't live in New York, there's art shows in like, I
Oh,
remember
everywhere. Yeah.
I lived in Rochester, New York when I was in college, and that's like a small town. They had like an amazing art scene, even down here in Providence, Rhode Island, which is small, like
Yep.
smaller city, great art scene. There's always just like
Yeah.
cool stuff. So it's just like, It's always be a part of the community, and you never know what come your way, you know.
Exactly.
And that's all you have work in the permanent collection of the Smithsonian. I like,
I
how does that
do.
come about? That's like, congrats on that. That's like pretty badass, like to say you're in the Smithsonian.
I know. You know what? I never thought that I would live to see the day, because a lot of people, you got to die before you get into that space, you know, right? You get, I mean, I feel like that's like the what happens a lot in the art world. Like, you make work, you make work. It's not appreciated until you're dead, and then they're like, oh, there's this person who made all this amazing work, you know? And so that came about. How did that come about? That came about. Oh, that, okay. I'm trying to remember. I just remembered. Oh, you know, and this has happened to me a couple of times now. Like, that came about because a friend shared my work on Facebook, and one of the curators at the Smithsonian happened to see it. And so they reached out, just wanting to have like a little, you know, a Zoom meeting about just talking about my work, with no, they didn't express interest necessarily in like buying anything, but they just wanted to chat about my work. And so just kind of developing a relationship there. And then, you know, a couple years later is when the opportunity came up. But that's one thing that, like I said, has happened to me a few times now, is that people share my work on social media and someone will see it and will reach out about something. And so that's one thing I'm trying to get better about, is like to be reciprocal in that way, like share other people's work, you know, like you never know who we'll see it. And it's just nice to, you know, because I love, like I said, I love looking at photography. I love Instagram and following other photographers and just like being blown away by like the work that I see, you know. And sometimes it's easy to be like, oh, that's so dope, and then keep scrolling. But I think it's nice to like, you know, also share and let other folks know what's up.
Oh yeah, definitely. That's what I realized even from doing this podcast for so long. Like,
Exactly,
we
yeah.
all live like in our little bubble of like the
Yeah.
photographers who have like inspired us, at least for me. But there's like so many, like every day, like I'm finding like new people. Like this, I was just
Yeah.
talking with my friend. He was like telling me about this old like Sports Illustrated sports photographer like back in the day, and I was like, never heard of this guy, and like some old music photographer. And it's like endless, and it's
Yeah.
I don't know. Like we were going back and forth on it last week about photo books and stuff, and like
Yeah, I love that thread, by the way.
yeah, it's yeah, I don't I need that inspiration to just kind of find a new work and stuff to keep at least keep
Yeah.
me motivated.
Totally, totally.
But for you, like where do you grow up and like how do you first kind of pick up a camera?
I grew up in Sacramento, California. I'm a Cali girl, a Northern Cali girl. And I picked up the camera in high school. I went to like a creative arts high school, and they had a photo program, and I took a class and just loved it. Like, I remember like having the feeling of just happiness, and I was like, whoa, this is, I like this. Like, how can I keep doing this, you know? And so, yeah, in high school, I picked up the camera, and you know, I didn't know what I wanted to study in college. I didn't come from a family where folks went to college. I'm from a very blue collar family, and so I knew I was going to go to college. I thought maybe I had to study like business or marketing. I didn't know, you know. And then when I discovered photography and that you could major in it and you could, you know, make a career out of it, that was really exciting. And so after Sacramento, I went to school in San Francisco.
What did your family, were they always like supportive of you like pursuing a career in the arts, being it's a little different career
Yeah.
path than what they were doing?
Yeah, good question. My mom has always been super supportive. She's like, yeah, whatever you want to do. You know, she came from kind of a very conservative, restricted home. And so I think she was very, she didn't want to do that to her kids. So she's like, yeah, whatever you want. And I think my dad, he didn't necessarily understand it. You know, he's like, oh, can you make a living doing that? Like, what is this? You know, like, there's no artist in my family. There's not like a blueprint, you know?
Yeah.
So I think he was a little worried, but ultimately he was also supportive.
That's awesome. And do you remember like the first camera you picked up? Were you just shooting kind of like 35 millimeter film or like
Yeah.
what was that first camera you were using?
Well, I went to school, and I, wait, there's no digital cameras when I was in high school, so it was all darkroom
Me
stuff.
too. Me too.
And yeah, and I love that. I love that that was the foundation that I had, you know, because now I can do both, right? Film and digital. But my mom bought me like a little point and shoot, like Canon camera from Target or something. And then my dad saw that I was like really into it, and so he gave me his Canon AE1, and
Nice.
so that's what I shot with until I got a digital camera. I love that camera.
That camera is such a, I still got one. It's like a workhorse.
It's
It won't break.
like
Like you literally
iconic.
can't break
No.
it.
No. It's got mine has dents, the lenses have been dropped, but that camera, like the lenses are so sharp. Like I sometimes I look at my photos from like the film stuff that I shot, because when I transferred to digital, I had to learn to retouch, and I was like, man, I never retouched a single thing when I was shooting in film. Like, what? It was just so good. Like film, the combination of the film and the camera, like just created such like beautiful skin tones,
I look at I was like going through like I moved recently and I was like moving all my stuff and I was going through like I have every photo like I've ever taken like from like first stuff. So I was like going through all these
That's dope.
early photos and I realized like looking at the work like obviously technically it's not that great, but the thing I liked about it is I could look at the work and I was like I was just like having fun. Like I was just photographing like a weird light or whatever. And like at least for me like I found like the longer I've done this, and when you start to, it becomes your living, and you gotta make a career out of it. You at least for me, I've gone a period where I kind of forgot just to have fun sometimes. You know, like you're always thinking about like my website, what do I gotta post on social media, my portfolio, which is all important. At least for me, I'm trying to remember to like, it's okay just to have fun sometimes and take a picture of like whatever, you know.
No, I love that. I think I've been kind of feeling that way too lately, like a little, like I love making photos, but yeah, there's nothing like those first couple years when you're kind of like you're still learning, like the camera and the settings, but kind of technical stuff doesn't matter. You're just like, whatever, you're just trying to capture an emotion, a mood, and then you start to learn, and then sometimes the technical stuff can kind of get in the way, at least for me, because I realize I'm a little bit what's the word? I'm very like a perfectionist sometimes. I'm like, oh shit, that highlight got blown out. Like, oh, like I gotta fix that, but I remember that feeling of just like what gets me excited about photography is the feeling of a photo. So like the stuff that kind of I trip about with my own work, like I could care less about anyone else's work. It's just that feeling,
Like some of my favorite photos in that book that you recommended that I got, Superfinos by I'm gonna butcher his name. It's like Thierry Le I'm blanking on his last name. Let me grab it real quick. It's
There you let go, or the goes, or something. It's French.
I gotta show him some respect. I can't butcher his
I know. I
name.
never know how
Yeah,
to say his name.
Superfino Thierry Le Goz. Amazing book. He this photographer, French photographer, he did in like Cuba, and the pictures I liked the most were like the blurry ones,
Yes, me too.
because like with digital and stuff, everything is just like sharp, 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 sharp. It's like
Sharp.
more megapixel, and you forget like, oh damn, like it's okay to have a blurry picture sometimes because it's a tool in itself. It's like using light or using shutter speed, whatever. This sometimes I forget about those like tools and whatever tricks or whatever you want to call it to make an image, you know.
Dude, my favorite photo, the first photo I saw that made me feel like that, and I remember because I was like, damn, that's such a good photo, is Annie Leibovitz. So she's one of the people that I really look up to, like her career and her work. There's a photo that she shot of Celia Cruz with Mark Anthony, and they're laughing, and it's blurry, and it's amazing. And I saw that photo, and I was just like, oh, it's
It's
just
just
like
like
so
a
good.
it's just like a texture to it, you know? It just adds an extra. It's like cooking. You add a little spice, a little
Yeah, a little sazón to it.
boy, you went to school for photography in San Francisco. What kind of work were you making back then? And like, did you already have a goal for the type of photographer you wanted to be at that point, or you're still just kind of figuring it out?
I think I was kind of figuring out. I always knew I liked photographing people, but I didn't, I mean, there's so many different ways you can photograph people, So I took a photojournalism class and kind of figured out real quick that that wasn't the way that I wanted to go. What I also realized is that I like directing people. I like working one-on-one with people. And so I realized, like, portraiture, editorial stuff is like really where I like to work, I love that challenge of like getting a small amount of time with somebody. You work editorially. Like, I love that challenge. It's like they're like, okay, you got, if you're lucky, an hour with someone, make something happen. And I really like that.
Like the build up, like the night before the shoot, you're like trying to plan everything out. You're like going through your
Yeah.
mind. You're like, da, da, da. At least I get anxious sometimes.
Yeah,
Not ner
yeah.
not nervous, but it's more this like,
Excited.
but I got everything organized. I got the like all
Yeah.
the logistics shit or whatever just to make sure.
Yeah.
And then you get the, like whatever 5, 10 minutes sometimes since it's just
I
gotta
know.
execute. But
Yeah.
were there any photographers like early on, like when you're going to school, that I know you mentioned Annie Leibovitz, but were there any other
Yeah.
photographers that were kind of like influential to you?
Yeah, all the magazine photographers I was seeing in the music magazines, like I went to school in San Francisco and there was a Borders Books like 2 blocks from my campus. And actually even my like school bookstore like had a bunch of magazines. Like I went to school in the 2000s, like I feel like that was like the heyday of magazines. And so once I kind of figured out that I liked photographing people and I started looking at magazines and that was really inspiring to me. So like the Fader was like a favorite magazine.
Oh
So
yeah, that magazine was amazing.
so beautiful. And so that's where I discovered the work of Esteban Oreo. I know our mutual friend. Like I saw his work in the magazine and was just like I instantly connected to it, you know, as a fellow, you know, Mexican American, seeing him photographing his community in the way that he did. And talk about feeling. For me, his work is all about feeling, you know. And so he was like an early inspo. I loved Jonathan Mannion. I loved all like the hip hop photographers
Like
coming up,
you
you
like
know.
Vibe magazine back in the day.
Vibe, I liked, yeah, I liked the Fader. I liked Spin, Rolling Stone, you
Yeah.
know, still one of my bucket lists. I have a lot of friends who are musicians and so I've, you know, photographed shows over the years, but one of my bucket lists is to go on tour with the musician just to like have that
Oh,
experience
you
just
can
because I
do it. Hey, it's gonna
one day,
happen.
what a day.
It's gonna happen.
But just looking at Rolling Stone was like so inspiring to me, you know, like the covers that were so like produced and beautiful and, you know, really like kind of discovering Anna Leibovitz's work and then seeing the trajectory of her career. And that was inspiring. But yeah, I loved all the photographers shooting and, you know, between 2020, you know, the early 2000s to 2010, I was like all about, you know, like I loved watching them make work and like aspire to be like doing what they were doing, you know.
Yeah, I was the same way. Like when I was in college, same thing. I'll go to the bookstore and I was just like trying to figure, because at that point, I'm like figuring out how they do lighting and stuff. I
Yeah,
remember
yeah.
one dude that was from LA, maybe you're familiar with him, Patrick Holick. He was
Oh,
this,
yeah, of course.
he shot a ton of music stuff. And like his work at the
Yep.
time, like this like blew my mind because it was all this like
Yep.
crazy like edge lighting and he was using
Yes,
like, John,
cyan and the orange.
yeah,
Yeah.
crazy shit. And he was shooting a lot. Like he did something
Yep.
really cool. He did a real cool thing for, I think, Vibe. It was with The Game and he shot all these photos in LA. And it was just, at the time, I was just like, how the fuck is he doing this? Like, how's he lighting it? Because
Yeah.
I didn't even know like what a pro photo light was or anything at that
Yeah.
point. So like, yeah, I remember those days. I missed the magazine stuff. There's still some great magazines out
Dude.
there, but it's definitely a little different than back in the day for sure.
Oh, I was a hater. Did you know what magazine I used to really love? For a hot minute, I thought I was going to be a surf photographer because I loved Surfer magazine.
Yeah.
They had a dope art director. I can't remember his name right now, but he's like iconic. And like every year they'd come out with this like annual surf magazine. I'm in Sacramento, landlocked. Like there's no surf
Hey,
around.
California though, same shit. Everyone
Yeah.
surfs
But I
in
just love the magazine because the photos were so beautiful. And that was the first time I remember seeing cross processing. I
California,
remember I saw a cross process photo and I took it to my photo teacher at the time. I was like, how did they do this? Like, I want to do that, you
right?
know? Because
Yeah.
yeah, like there's so much I didn't know, you know, like and figuring it out. And but anyway, Surfer Magazine was the
Yeah.
shit too.
You should check out, there's a really good surfing magazine now. Not that I'm into surfing, but it's called the Surfer's Journal. They do the
Yeah.
Surfer's Journal and then they do other magazine called the Golfer's Journal. And they're like
Oh,
really,
okay.
they're very, I think they only print like once or twice a year, like very, really amazing photography and design. Anybody listening, go check them out. I like them. And then my other favorite, Victory Journal, which is a cool publication that does, it's like a large format one.
Oh, I
So
like a large format
I'm,
magazine.
yeah, but yeah, there's still some cool stuff out there. But once you got out of college, what did you end up doing? Like once you left
I
CERN?
got out of college and I stayed in San Francisco. I was working at an art gallery and just like trying to shoot as much as I could. I had some friends who started working for this music lifestyle magazine out of Chico. The name is escaping me right now, but they would hire me and my friends to, because I was a part of this photo collective in San Francisco called Dandelion Black, old school, just like women photographers.
Wow.
And, my buddy was working writing for this magazine, and so he would hire me and my friends to like shoot, you know, folks in the Bay Area. I started assisting in San Francisco. As soon as I graduated, I realized I still didn't know shit. 4 years is like, it goes by fast. And like,
Oh,
you're not
yeah.
just studying art, you're studying, you got to do math and history and all this stuff. And so
It's a
I was like,
lot.
man, there's so much I don't know, you know?
Still now, still now.
Yeah, still learning, still learning. Yeah, no, I feel it. So I started assisting, and I in San Francisco was working with adult photographer Dylan Maddox at the time. Lifestyle streak, skateboarding, is the kind of stuff he was doing. And he, the first assisting gig I did was he was shooting a fashion shoot for Vapors magazine, and he had me come assist, and that was like really blew my mind. I was like, wow, this is how this happens. You know, I was in awe of seeing him work with like the models and like the locations. And I just tried to assist as much as I could in San Francisco. Assist, devour magazines, like you were saying, trying to figure out how are people lighting this stuff. And slowly, slowly, like after interning and assisting for a little while, I started shooting also for Vapors magazine. They're now defunct, but my first kind of photo editorial work was for Vapors. And then slowly I started to shoot for, I don't know if you remember Mass Appeal.
Oh,
I started
yeah.
doing, I loved Mass Appeal. That was another really great magazine out of New York. And they had a sister magazine like Misbehave, you know, started. So little by little, I started to like shoot for like kind of local publications, and then just started reaching out and hoping to get work with other
And
folks. But
was that stuff just kind of like word of mouth, like working with Mass Appeal, or were you kind of like sending them your portfolio, or like how did those kind of opportunities happen for you?
you know what? Me and my friend Norma Cordova, who's also an amazing photographer, you guys should check out. She was part of that photo collective I mentioned, Dandelion Black. And when I graduated, I decided, like I said, I still wanted to learn more technical stuff. So I started to going to night school at the City College and taking photo classes and learning how to light. And so I met my friend Norma, and we put together a portfolio. And she's like, we gotta go to New York. She's like, we're gonna go to New York, we're gonna go for a week and try and meet up with editors. I'm like, okay. And so, I got my portfolio together, and we went and like just cold called and sent emails, and I was like, hey, we're gonna be in New York, can we meet? And we got lucky that trip. We got to meet, remember that magazine, Yellow Rat Bastard? It was another New York magazine.
Nice.
Yeah, we met with them, and Mass Appeal and Vice and The Fader, just like trying to get our stuff out there, And I think from that kind of opportunity, the photo editor at the at Mass Appeal at the time remembered us and slowly started to give us work when we were in the Bay Area.
That's incredible. Yeah, I kind of, those are like some of the early magazines I looked at too. I remember
Yeah.
that's how I discovered Angela Boatwright. She was a photographer
Dude,
in
I love Angela Boatwright's book. I have one of her zines. And
Yeah.
speaking of mood and emotion, she did the zine on Punk Rockers, and
Yeah.
I have it in the cover is like iconic. I'm gonna grab it for you at
Yeah.
some point so you can see it because it's so good.
Yeah, but I saw, yeah, so many like photographers kind of got their start at Mass Appeal, and it was like I feel like
Yeah.
I never worked for them, but I would imagine they kind of let you kind of do your thing. Like it seemed like
Yeah, because
very
the Well, at the time, the budgets weren't great, so I think they were just like, "This is assignment." Like, I don't remember ever getting like any art direction. Like, sometimes editors will give you art direction, but I don't remember getting art direction at Mass Appeal. It was kind of like, "This is what we need. Can you make it happen?" And actually, I was shooting film at the time, and so it was like, had to rush, film processing and FedEx prints to get scanned.
the thought of doing like film now for like a, I know people do it, like I'm just probably lazy or whatever, but like trying to shoot film for like assignments all the time now, like that's dedication. Like
Dedication
it's
for
another
sure.
level. I still shoot a little bit, but not as much as like, I don't know how, it's expensive, and this it's a whole process. But
Totally.
and then didn't you end up, you ended up assisting Estevan at some point, right?
I did. Yeah. So I was in San Francisco for a long time, and I always loved Esteban's work. And I remember emailing him actually when I was in college. I emailed him, and because I had just seen his stuff in The Fader, and I was like, whoa, this guy's amazing. And so I sent him an email. It's just like, hey man, I love your work. Like, it's really inspiring. Just want to let you know from a college student. And he's like, yeah, thank you so much. He's like, I'm actually on my way. I think he was going to Iraq with like Blink 182. And I
Yeah,
was like,
that's
wow, that's
wild.
amazing.
That's a wild.
Yeah. And so just over the years, I just kind of would always see his stuff in magazines, and just kind of kept tabs on what he was doing. And I had an opportunity to go to LA after college, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to email Esteban and see if he needs an assistant. And so I emailed him and I lied about it actually. I was like, hey, I'm going to be in LA next week. Or no, I think I said I'm moving to LA. I'm like, I'm moving to LA if you need an assistant. He's like, yeah, actually, I have a shoot tomorrow. Can you be here at 12? And I was like, yes. So I left San Francisco at like 6 a.m. to get to LA at 12 to like assist
Wow.
on this job. And I was like, I got to move to LA. Oh man, I gotta move to LA. And so the stars aligned, and one of my friends was looking for someone to come down to live in her childhood home and look after her dad. And I was like, this is it, this is my ticket. And so I moved down to LA and started assisting him for like 8 months. And that was probably the most education I got in my photo career. You know, like while I was there, I was on set with him, like assisting. He was, you know, he did shoot when I was there. He shot like 50 Cent and Kim Kardashian and like, you know, Travis Barker. Like he was, you know, always working, and I'd get to come on jobs and just like learn and absorb and see how he was working. And he really demystified like the photo game for me, you know, because at that point I hadn't really. I was doing like, you know, small editorial work. So to see like these productions was really cool and inspiring and made me want to get after it, you know?
Because what do you think like some of the things you learn most from working with him? Because that's one the thing I never worked with him. Like I've just been the same thing. I'm a fan of his work forever, and luckily we've gotten to know him a little bit. And the thing that's amazing about his work, like he hasn't really changed his approach. Like a lot of people adapt to the times, like they start using a different camera or whatever. And his vision, like if you look at his work for like 20 over 20 years, it's still the same vision, the same. He's shooting like AE1 in the same look, and like he just has like this, you know, it's an Estevan Oriol photo when you see it. But like getting the experience to work with him, like what are some of the things you think you learned most from him and getting to see him work?
Actually, just like what you said, that you don't have to change who you are, and how you approach your work to get work. And that was really cool for me to see, because he was getting hired to do exactly what he would, like, you know, his personal work is very much the same exact style as his like commercial work. And so that was cool for me to see, because at the time I felt like maybe I needed to change my style. You know, at that time I think Terry Richardson's was super popping. I was like, oh, do I need to start shooting like
On
a wide
camera
backdrop
flash.
with a hard on flash? And I was like, I don't really think that's my aesthetic. Like you know, I was young, I was learning and really trying to figure out like what was gonna work for me. And so seeing Esteban work, that was the biggest thing I learned, is like you don't have to change. You can be exactly who you are and someone's gonna appreciate that. And so that was really pivotal.
Yeah, it takes time because it's like everyone. I was like that because you're starting out and you're just like trying to make enough money to eat. And it's like, you're like, should I be doing this? Should I be doing that? And then you're like throwing everything against the wall. And then reality, like, it's actually the opposite. You should just do one thing good. And then it kind of sets you apart. It doesn't happen overnight, it takes a long time. But then when you do, it's like, oh, this is their work and their vision, you know?
Exactly.
And then I saw recently you got to 360, like, you photograph Estevan for a Lugs boots campaign, which that must have been pretty cool to go from assisting to photographing him for a campaign. How was that experience?
You know what, that was such a cool 360 moment, like you said. Like you know, if you would have told my college self, hey, like one day you're gonna shoot a campaign for Esteban, like probably wouldn't have believed you. But that was cool because he actually picked me for that job. Like the Lugs creative director called me. He's like, hey, you know, or actually Esteban texted me and was like, hey, I'm doing this shoot collaboration. Are you open to shooting? And I was like, yes, of course. And so then I had a call with their creative director, and they're like, yeah, Esteban wants you to shoot this job. And like I couldn't believe it, you know. I was like, 'cause he can pick anyone. There's so many talented people all over the country, you know, in LA too, where he lives. And so that was like a really like affirming moment for me, you know, like I've been working for a long time, and to have someone I respect and admire so much, like, you know, pick me to do that was really cool. And yeah, it was a fun experience. Like, you know, he art directed it, you know, like he took me to the locations he liked, and you know, it's all very like iconic LA places in you know, downtown LA, where he really, I think of downtown LA as like his studio, you know. He knows all the spots. Like He knows exactly where to go. He knows what's going to look cool. And so it was cool to kind of merge both of like what I like to do and like him bringing me to all these places that he wanted to be photographed in, was really cool. So that was an exciting moment.
Yeah, and getting to work with your friends for a shoot, that's pretty cool. That's pretty rare. So
Yeah, totally. It was such a, and he's so low key. And that's another thing I learned. Like, I've never seen him stress out, and he works with high profile people. He's just very chill and, gets the photo he
he's a
needs.
hard worker. Getting to be around him a little bit, I'm like, that guy works hard, man. Like, he does a lot. But
He's
that's
grinding.
amazing. And then for you, kind of touch on a little bit, but like, did it kind of take you a while to kind of find your voice as a photographer, or kind of like your style, approach, aesthetic? And is it something you think is just kind of continually evolving, or how do you kind of approach that aspect of your work, I guess?
I think in the beginning I was just trying to figure out like what I liked. Like, we were talking about, I knew that I liked people. And I kind of had to figure out what that looked like. And then once I did, it was about figuring out like, my style. Like, what kind of photos do I like? Like, do I like natural light? Do I like lighting things? What's my aesthetic? What am I trying to convey? And what I know right now, and it could change, is that, I still like portraiture. I like a lot of color. I think that comes from, my family and how I grew up, and just surrounded by every room in my house was a different color. And my dad was really into gardening, so just always around a lot of color. And so I feel like that's in my work. I think it's evolved a little bit. I think I used to like more kind of moody photos, and right now I think I'm kind of transitioning a little bit into like more joy, trying to capture like that when I work. But yeah, I think it took a while to figure out what I like, and then I think it's always gonna evolve, Like I'm in this like mood to really play with like lights and gels, something I'm kind of leaning into right now. So who knows what that'll look like in like a couple years. But I also know that I like a little bit of a production,
You like all the toys. You
like
like all the
Yeah, I like working with like makeup artists and stylists and stuff. Like, I like to bring those things together now in my shoots. Like before, like, well, another way I like to work, I still like to work this way, is like, show up, when I'm doing test shoots, like show up with a friend, no lights, natural light, just see what we get, but slowly I've realized like I really do love like having it a little bit more stylized and planned. And I love working with like I said, makeup artists and stylists and hair people who like
know what
are
they're
so
doing.
dope and know what they're doing. And so it just like the merger of everything is my
It
favorite right
really
now.
adds something else to the photos, because it's like you can do a lot by yourself, but like when you have like a good team, and like even if you have like a good assistant, and like it just really adds something and allows you to I don't know, almost like be more free in a sense. And it's just like
Yeah, you
it's
don't have to worry about it.
it's an extra level. It's just an extra level of like creativity or whatever. And I guess with like assignment and portrait work, when you get an assignment, how do you kind of prepare for it? Do you have like a way, like, are you a person that does a lot? Do you know exactly going into it how you're going to approach it? Or does it kind of change on the day of the shoot? Or like, how do you kind of prepare for like an editorial portrait shoot?
I try and plan like beforehand. So if I know, if I get a call and they're like, okay, we want you to shoot so and so on this date, I start thinking about, okay, cool, where's the location? And then once that's locked, I start thinking about like what I want the pictures to look like, And I try and make like, I'll do a little research on like who I'm photographing, especially if it's like a celebrity or something. Like, I want to make a photo that they, in a style or in a way that they haven't been photographed before. And so there's always a little research involved, trying to figure out the best way to like photograph someone. And maybe if I need to go buy props or like a specific backdrop, and so I like to research a little bit. And I also like, because a lot of times I'm on such a limited, like limited schedule, I try and like be really intentional with that time. I'm like, okay, I got an hour. Let me see if I can get, if they'll let me come early to set up. And then I try and block off like, okay, if we also too, depending on how many photos like the magazine or whatever they need, I'll try and think, okay, let me see if I can get at least this amount of setups, and how am I going to divide this time so that I can do that, So there is a little planning, but I also try and be a little loose, like, so that if in case, things change. There's been times where I'll bring a, backdrop to a shoot and it just doesn't go with like what the person is wearing. I'm like, all right, plan B, what else are we gonna do? Like, so I try, trying to be open to like what the environment is also like, asking for. But yeah, I do like to plan a little bit. Like, I like to have at least in my mind like one thing that I know for sure that I'm gonna do.
I really like the shoot you did with the actress. I might say her name incorrectly. Yalitza Aparicio. She was like the star of the movie Roma, I think, in 2018. Incredible movie. You had some really amazing portraits of her. What was that for, and what was kind of your approach to that shoot?
Thank you. Yeah, so that was for the Washington Post. I had just started working with them and they called me and asked me, "Oh, do you speak Spanish?" And I thought that that was like an interesting question. And I was like, "Yeah, I speak Spanish." And as soon as they asked that, because the movie Roma had just come out, I was like, "Ooh, I wonder if they're gonna have me shoot Yalitza."
Why, you guessed it. Well, that's
I
impressive.
guessed it. I guessed it because I was just, and also hoping, hoping that I would get that opportunity. And so they called and then they asked if I spoke Spanish and I said yes and said, okay, great. We have the shoot with, Yalitza. And I'm like, oh, amazing. And that photo editor, she had some art direction, which I like. I like when people come with a little art direction. It's helpful, And so she sent over some rough ideas that she liked, and then so I kind of like ran with that. And also for that, I knew it was going to be a tight session. And also because of the opportunity, I wanted to get as many different setups as I could. And so like I had a little timer. I was like, all right,
Oh,
you
wow,
got
that's
5 minutes
good.
here, 10 minutes here, keep moving,
Because how much time did you have for that shoot?
Gosh, I want to say like 30 minutes or an hour. I can't remember exactly, but an hour goes
Oh,
fast.
yeah.
Like an hour goes so fast. And so I can't remember exactly, but I remember like we did a little session on the balcony. We did it. I brought a backdrop. And for that shoot, like, man, I really went all out because I wanted to do like the best job I could. Like I made a playlist for her with, music in Spanish that I thought she might like. I brought snacks. I didn't know she was gonna have a makeup artist, so I just hired my friend. I was like, can you come? Like just to have someone there to do touch-ups. I had an assistant. Just everything. I did a test shoot before with one of my friends. I was like, hey, come to
Wow,
my
that's
house. I want to set up this light. Yeah, because
badass.
sometimes things can get a little funny on set. Like you have this idea, but if you don't test it out before, you're like, oh, at
Yeah.
least for me, it's happened. I'll have an idea. I set up the light and then I don't like it. And then I'm like, oh no, I gotta do
It's
something else.
like, I mean, it might sound corny, but it's no different than like an athlete. They have practice before the big game. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, why would photographers do the same thing? You know?
Exactly. So I had my friend come over. Like I really just wanted to like knock that one out of the park, and yeah, I just, I wanted to make her feel comfortable and get as many photos as I could. And I think we got a lot of really great stuff that day. I was really thankful. But what's funny? I look back now and I'm like, oh wow, we got a lot of good stuff. But after the shoot, like right after, I was like, man, I could have done more. Like I was like beating myself up. I was like, I should have done this, I should have done that. But honestly, there's only so much you can do. And that's another thing I kind of learned about myself is I can like be hard on myself and kind of goes back to that perfectionist thing. I was like, oh,
Yeah.
what could I have done differently? But honestly, like what you do in that moment is exactly
Yeah,
what you
it's
can do,
and especially when you only have a certain amount of time, you only can do what you can do in that time frame. And it's like, yeah, if you had this forever time or whatever, like you could do a lot more. But for that amount of time, like, yeah, you killed it.
Oh, thank you.
that is the best. I mean, occasionally it happens. I don't know if you get this feeling, but I'm the same way. Like, most of the time, I'm like, eh, I could have done better. But then occasionally you get the feeling like, all right, I got something good. Like, maybe a couple times a year, I'm like, all right, I got something good I'm like proud of, you know? It's a good feeling.
I used to get that feeling more with film. Like I remember getting that feeling of like, because when you shoot film, you can't see anything, right? So I
Yep.
remember I knew I was done when I'd get that feeling of the, oh, I got it. I got
Yeah.
it, now it's like I get that feeling, but you can tell by looking at the back of your camera, like if you got it or not. But back then I remember like that feeling was really strong when I was shooting film.
Yeah, definitely. And there's a really interesting project on your website called Mr. Aritia,
Arietta, yes.
Arietta. And what was that project all about?
So that was so remember I told you, so when I moved to LA, my friend Rose, well, when I wanted to move to LA after that assisting Esteban, and I was like, oh, I gotta move to LA. My friend Rose hit me up, and her dad was living in Whittier at the time, Mr. Arrieta, and he was in his 80s. And she was like, my dad lives by himself in Whittier, and he's got like a 3-bedroom house. Like, is there any way, like, I know that you want to go to LA. Like, is there any way that you would think about going down there? She let me stay there rent free. She's like, I just need you to keep an eye on my dad. And so I was like, yes, this is perfect. This is going to get me down to LA. And so I went down to LA to help my friend Rose out, and in turn was able to assist Esteban. But her dad, Mr. Arrieta, is, if you go to my website for folks listening, is this project that I did when I lived in LA the first time, for 8 months. Is I just documented him, like documented Mr. Arrieta in his home, and in a lot of ways he was like my grandpa, because I didn't grow up with a grandpa, and he was just such a kind, chill man. And during the course of my time living with him, his health declined, and so kind of making those photos was a way for me to just kind of process like what was happening. And so you can see the kind of the progression of his days in those photos, and like little moments that we got to spend together. And I always say we're like an unlikely duo of roommates, but it was like the perfect situation at that time. Over time, towards the end of my time living there, he, like I said, his health declined. And so he had nurses like that were with him like around the clock. And so it became more of a friendship instead of me kind of looking out for him once like the nurses stepped in. But yeah, he was just like a kind, gentle man that I documented, and I felt like was like a gift that I could give my friend, of photos of her dad, because she was living in San Francisco at the time, so she wasn't there day to day. But yeah, that's just another example of like personal projects. Like, I just like to make work that makes me happy, and editorial and commercial stuff makes me happy, but it's you're not doing it every day. That was just a project that, I don't know, I just had my camera and just started documenting him,
Yeah, just like you're saying, like there's just different like styles of photography, and these photos obviously mean something different than like shooting like a campaign or whatever. And it's cool to see like you have like these multiple skill sets. Like you can do like the real high key lit portraits, but then this, it's just you, a camera, and the subject really. It's like more, a little more like free and loose, I would imagine.
No pressure too. It's just like, I'd have my camera, and there's a photo on the site. I think it's on the site. He fell asleep reading the newspaper, and I just thought that was so amazing. I just grabbed my camera and just snapped a little photo, and it just felt like it documented that like time so perfectly, because every morning he'd be at the kitchen table with his coffee and newspaper. And yeah, it was a special time. And yeah, it's nice to work that way too. That's why I like personal projects, because there's no pressure. It's just, you do it at your leisure, and it brings you some happiness and joy.
Yeah, definitely. I gotta find it. I gotta get another side project going. I usually have one going, but I've been kind of slacking the last few months or whatever, but I gotta get something, because
It'll come to you in time, it'll come.
because I like just being busy and like shooting assignments, but then having a little side thing and just making work. I feel like it's just, for me, it's like momentum. When I'm just continuing making stuff, it's just like I feel like it just helps the whole thing run better or whatever, or this like personal satisfaction, I guess. You got to shoot key art for a Netflix show called Gentified.
Identified.
How was that getting to work on a key art shoot like that? Had you done key art before that, or was that kind of your first one?
That was my first one, and I shot one recently, not too long ago again, and I like key art. It's fun. But actually, that's another example of, I was saying earlier, like a friend shared my work on Facebook, and that's how that Smithsonian thing happened. And another friend shared a photo on Instagram, and one of the art directors at Netflix saw it, and during the pandemic, and she reached out to me, and we just kind of kept in touch. And she's like, "Oh, I have to show it. I think you'd be a good person to shoot it." And so that happened during the pandemic, because I remember we were all wearing masks and
Yeah,
shields,
that
and it
was
was like a
crazy.
Everyone had to sit apart, when you ate lunch, like, whatever, 6, 9 feet, I can't remember. But yeah, that was really fun. I like that's something I'd like to do more of, like key art like that. Yeah, it was my first experience doing it, and it was, fun. And that was actually another example of like very limited time. I think probably there are a lot of key art is like that. But we shot it while they were filming, and so we had to pull the actors like during their break. And I feel like I want to say we had like 20 minutes, something crazy, like, you know, and we were setting up in the dark, I remember, on the same set that they were filming in. So we had to be really quiet. It was kind of an interesting setup. But yeah, it's so gratifying to see your work like that, you know, like they used it in posters and I think it was in Times Square and billboards and stuff. And so it was really cool to see, you know, images in the project that I worked on like that.
And how much, like, for, 'cause it's obviously, it's for a Netflix show. Did they give you a ton of art direction? Like, they want exactly look like this, or like, how much direction do you get for a shoot like that versus like an editorial shoot, I guess?
There was a lot of art direction because they, you know, they're working with art directors and graphic designers, and they kind of they already know what the, you know, the artwork is going to look like before you even go in to shoot it. And so, the Digitech was sending files to like the art directors that were on standby because they couldn't be on set because of COVID. And so, like, they were giving notes and, you know, try more of this. Like, they already knew what they wanted. And so I like that too. I like when people have like a clear vision of what they want and then they hire you to execute it, you know. It's fun to work that way too. Then it almost takes a little bit of the stress off. All you got to worry about is the lighting and
Right.
the and directing, but you already know what like the final project you know, final artwork's going to be.
So for you, like, I guess with shoots like that, commercial stuff, like, what do you think the key is to having like a successful shoot? Because obviously with that, there's a lot more people involved, art directors, you got your crew. Like, what makes like a successful shoot in your mind and kind of keeping the train on the track, I guess, when you're dealing with something like that?
That's a good question. I think maybe patience and communication, you know. I think sometimes I can be, you know, a little high strung, but I've realized like this doesn't benefit anyone. Like I think it's just like it's just patience and like doing what you can do in that moment and knowing you're doing the best job that you can. And yeah, I think patience and communication and you know, having a good team that you trust and like to work with.
Yeah, I think we all do it as photographers because you want to do a good job, and we all just got our, like, when the job comes in, your mind starts racing and you're trying to like organize everything, and you can like, I do it. I have my friend. We got phone calls. We kind of talk each other off a cliff. Like, it's like, chill out. It's gonna work out. It's gonna be
Yeah.
good.
And it always does. That's the
Yeah.
thing. Like it always does. And so as I've you know gotten older, I'm like, okay, it's gonna work out the way it works out, and you know you can do it. Just I think
Yeah.
also too, just the confidence. You're like, okay, you got this. It's just
Yep.
doing it.
Yeah, it just means you care.
Yeah.
And then I noticed you photographed Nipsey Hussle. It seemed like a handful of times, or maybe just once. I don't know. You had a bunch of really great portraits of him. How did that kind of come about? What was that for?
Thanks. Yeah, I photographed him for Double XL. That was another magazine that I was working for when I first started. Because I loved music photography, kind of touching on, you know, Annie Leibovitz as like an early inspiration.
Yeah.
And also a bunch of my friends are musicians, and so I started, you know, photographing them. And in my hometown of Sacramento, there was like a big hip hop and like b-boy scene that I was a part of. And so just kind of music photography was always something I've been interested in. And Double XL was like also an early inspo, right? Because Estevan and Jonathan Mannion, all those guys were Patrick Ho, like, you know, everyone was shooting for them. And so I got to shoot for them a couple of times, and I met Nipsey Hussle back, I think it was 2008, 2009. He was just starting, so it was an assignment for Double XL for their, it was called Show and Prove. So it was a section where they would have, you know, up and coming artists. And I met him, you know, in his neighborhood. I think we had maybe an hour. I shot film. I shot my 35 millimeter contacts and my AE-1, and you know, got the negatives processed and send the contact sheets to the photo editor. And yeah, that was a really, gosh, that was like a gift. That was a gift to have that shoot. You know, some shoots come around and you know, one, I feel lucky to be, you know, a photographer, but two, like the shoot with the Yalitza was a gift, you know. I was like, you know, a Latina, that was like a really special shoot for me. The shoot with Nipsey was a gift. My gosh, like he's such an iconic person. And to be able to get to spend a little bit of time with him early in his career and make those photos was really, really special. And that was one of those examples of like after I did that shoot, I was like, oh man, I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have done that. But then revisiting the shoot after he passed away and looking through the contact sheets, I was like, oh man, we got some really lovely photos, you know? I think sometimes you need some separation from the work to like appreciate it. And I really love those photos that we got. I feel like he just has so much emotion in his eyes. I think just as a person, right? Like as a creative person, I think, you know, very in touch with like the world around him. But that day I felt like he really gave a lot of himself to those photos. And I feel like you can see it, you know, like those photos are real special.
Yeah, it's like good when you get a subject who's like invested in the shoot and is like, or at least like giving you their attention during the time you're there. Because there's definitely, I'm sure you've had it where shoots where you can tell like the person's just trying to be like, are we done? Like, are we good? Like, which is like its own challenge or whatever. But when you have like a, it's like, it's a collaboration as a portrait photographer in my mind, especially when someone, I like when the subject is sometimes like, hey, can we try this? I'm like, hell yeah, I'm down for an idea, you know? It's good. Another thing, I know you and your partner, another great photographer, Trevor Trainer, who's been on the podcast before, you guys have a company called Memoryscape Media, which I think you guys been doing for a little while now. How did that kind of come about, and what do you guys do with Memoryscape?
Memoryscape is a production company. So Trev started it. Oh man, I think during the pandemic, or maybe pre-pandemic, or right, or during the pandemic. And it's a production company that, you know, does a lot of different things. Like, so, you know, as photographers, creative people, you know, I think it's important to like diversify what you do, you know. And so, you know, Memoryscape helps produce photo and video content for a bunch of different clients. And so Trev actually was just in LA doing some stuff for the Grammys. And yeah, it's
Nice.
a production company that we have. So people can hire us to help produce like photo and video content. And so it's something that we do on the side in addition to like our own practices, you know.
How's that working with your partner and having a fellow photographer? That seems, is it like, do you guys like feed off each other, get inspired? Like, that seems like a cool like scenario.
Yeah, I think so. Trev and I, so folks listening in, my partner's name is Trevor Trainer, awesome photographer. We're so different. Like our styles are really, really different. And I think that's like to our benefit because we assist each other sometimes. And I think that like I like to have Trev on set like when I'm working because he sees things differently than I do. So it's cool to like get his input on things and vice versa. Like I see things differently than he does. So like if he's photographing someone, you know, and he's open to it, you know, I'll give him like, oh, what if you try this or what if you try that? And like you were saying, it's fun when people like when you're working with someone who's open to that, but also like when you have like a really good person that you trust, like working with you that like is giving you like creative inspiration and ideas, is really nice too. So we've been working together now for like, oh my gosh, 12 years.
Wow.
So yeah, I feel like we work really well together. And yeah, it's nice like because we both get it. Like we both understand like what it is to, you know, be freelancers, which is it's a whole beast. It's like, yeah, right, a lot of ups and downs. Like we understand the roller coaster as you know just did. We understand like the high and the low tide, as I like to call it, you know.
Yeah,
And so
yeah.
it's nice to have someone who gets it and who, you know, can inspire you and push you know.
No, that's awesome. And I guess to wrap up, like, what's got you inspired with photography these days and kind of anything you're hoping to work on moving forward?
Yeah, so I'm always kind of tinkering with something, you know. I feel like with the Guadalupe project, that was like a long-term project that I was telling you about. I have like one more photo I want to shoot for that, and so I'm looking to find the right person to do that with. I'm like,
Yeah.
I want to photograph someone who has like a woman who has a gigantic Guadalupe tattoo on her back, and so there's a few people that I know that I'm hoping to make something happen. I have this one last idea for that project before I kind of wrap it. But also like, you know, like I was saying earlier, I'm really into music and one of my kind of side personal projects that I'm working right now is documenting underrepresented voices in country music. And so I go to Nashville like once a year to kind of work on that project and that keeps me excited and you know,
Well, it sounds
keeps the wheels turning.
is that on your website now, that
It's
work?
not, you know, I was
Okay,
just
okay.
telling Trev, like I have photographed probably about 10 people for the project.
Okay.
And It's like so personal to me. Like I keep waiting to be, and I just have to do it. But I just keep waiting to be in like the right headspace to like
Yeah, don't
work
rush
on
it.
it and
Don't,
like,
yeah, don't rush it. Don't rush it.
yeah. Yeah. And so that's yeah, something I'm working on. And you were sharing your photo books on Instagram, last week. And another thing I'm just excited to just like dive into is we have a huge photo book collection, and our last place it our bookshelf was like not really accessible, and so now we're in a new place that like it's everything's accessible. So like on the weekends I love to just like look
Oh,
at
that's
the
not, I got
collection
like,
and get inspired.
yeah, I got like five every day. It's just a rotating thing. I just kind of go through it.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that until like, I remember I went to some photographer studio and their studio was just like the way they had it set up, and it could be your house or your studio or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like having cool stuff. It's like inspiring around, be it like whatever
Yeah.
photos or like maybe like whatever books or whatever decoration. It really, I didn't realize it. It kind of can, having cool stuff around you can inspire you, you know?
Totally, totally. Yeah, I was saying how, I didn't have a really good bookshelf at my last place. Also, my last place, we didn't have a lot of wall space, so all of our art lived in a box under our bed.
Yeah,
And
that's a
now,
crime. That's a crime.
I know, dude. We have so much art because, in addition to like, collecting photo books, I love collecting art. And we just didn't have the wall space. And now I'm starting to like put things in frames. And like, I just shared on Instagram yesterday. I have this photo from Martha Cooper that I freaking love.
Yep.
And talking about how having things around you that inspire you. Like this photo, I was looking at the print yesterday. I was like, it's like perfectly printed, and it's like there's no blown out spots. Like it was shot on film. It's so gorgeous. And it just makes me happy. And so I'm like, oh, I need to have exactly what you're saying. I was like, I need to have some more things around me that like just inspire you,
Yeah, Martha Cooper, she's a badass. I got her book that came out like a year or two ago,
Which one?
Spray Nation.
I don't
It's
have that one.
yeah, it's good. Yeah, she's inspiring. I gotta get her on the
Oh
podcast.
my gosh, yes. I love photographers who have long careers like that. Like it that is so inspiring. Gordon Parks, I just got one of his books I wasn't familiar with, and was looking through it last weekend, and the bio says like he made this work in his 80s, like these photos
Yeah.
that were in this book. I was like, wow, like
I think
I want to have a career like that.
Irving Penn was like
Yeah,
that. He was doing assignments up until like almost till he died. Like it
I
was crazy.
love that. I love that. I can't wait for that. I want to like that's so inspiring, and I'm like, oh man, I'm
You can
curious
do
to see
it.
what's
Just
gonna look
don't
like. Yeah,
quit. Let's just
I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it, and I'm excited about that.
say.
Because photography is like one of those things that I don't know about you, but like there is ups and downs, and so like there's been moments in my career I've been like, I think I'm gonna throw in the towel. I haven't yet, but I
No,
don't plan to. But because what
I
I've
get
learned too
it.
over the years is like those low moments don't mean the end. It just means like, hey, maybe you gotta rest. Maybe you gotta, find other things to be creative in and just keep going.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that's good advice. I think that's a good place to end.
Cool.
I appreciate it, Amanda. And anybody listening, you can go check out Amanda's website at amandalopezphoto.com, and I'll link all her socials and stuff. But thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank you so much, Alex. That was fun.
So there you have it. That was the Amanda Lopez interview. Just want to thank Amanda so much for taking the time to come on the podcast. It was a real pleasure talking to her about her journey with photography and everything she's accomplished. Definitely go check out her work at amandalopezphoto.com. I'll put the link in the description, but definitely go check that out. And also, as I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, today's episode is brought to you by PicDrop. If you go over to the PicDrop website, PicDrop.com, enter the promo code BANTER, you'll get 2 months free of the PicDrop image transfer tool. So definitely go try that out and let me know what you guys think. And as always, thanks so much for listening. I got some more episodes coming, and hope you guys enjoy, and thanks so much.